get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here live and wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you were 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Control. Shorty street name is Smoke. She had me hit from just a kiss, and now she's in the soul. Intoxicating, yeah. My heart is feeling deep, can hear them vapors burning my nose. Damn, it had an overdose. I need rehabilitation. I must admit, I'm shook, cause Shorty's got me
good.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 271 of the report. And right now, we're rocking out to some Dave Hollister, man. One Addiction off of the Things in the Game Done Changed album. Go ahead, rock out with your boy.
I must admit, I'm sure, cause Sean is young.
Yes, indeed, y'all. We are back this week with the Span Report Podcast, episode number 271. I already said that, but you're getting it again. Yeah, man. Let me go ahead and turn this off. You know what's funny, though, right? Real talk. I wasn't even thinking about that. The nigga's talking about weed in the song, and I wasn't even thinking about it. I was like, man, I just need to find something to play, and I fell on that one. It was like, I'll be damned, after I got finished playing it, like, after I was playing, I'm like, oh shit, it kind of coincides with what we're gonna be talking about today. Got a lot of weed stories today, so yeah, man, it's apropos, man. It seems like things just seem to fall together, right? But let's get into this, man. We got some stuff to talk about, man. Before we do, of course, got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave the voicemail messages. And, of course, those messages will be read here live on the show, responded to here live on the show. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Of course, those emails will get read here live on the show and responded to as well. We got an email this week, so we're going to respond to that here on the show. Also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me. Chop it up with your man Spans throughout the week. You can also hit up our website at www.thespanreport.com. Still working on the website. There have been some major changes to the overall aesthetic of the site. So, if you guys go over there, there's still some stuff I need to change up. But, yo, man, you can still go there, watch replays of the show, vote in the polls when we put one up, leave comments there, listen to the podcast over there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Spam Report Podcast Network, especially those who are our Patreon patrons who help make this possible so that we can do this live here on Crowdcast, right? So, we appreciate them immensely. Also, you can hit up our store from the website, but you can hit up our store and get yourself some merch, man. Buy yourself a t-shirt or a hoodie or a coffee mug or a mouse pad, whatever you need. You know, we got some stuff, man. Stickers, we got some stuff over there, man. So yeah, we really do appreciate all of those folks who would patronize us in that way and support the podcast in that way. Also, hit us up on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio with a 5-star review. The 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. It's one way to put down for the show. It doesn't cost you a dime, just a couple minutes of your time to say why you're messing with us over here at the Spin Report Podcast Network, real talk. And also, for those of you who are listening to us on CastBox, man, leave those comments on CastBox and we'll read those comments on CastBox as well, man. We really do appreciate those who listen in that way, and it's very easy to do, and it's cross-platform, whether you're on iOS or Android, man. On CastBox, you can leave comments that we will read here live on the show, man. So thank you so much to everybody who does that. But yeah, man, it's some we got some stuff going on, and I'm gonna talk about it here on the show. But excuse me, I got some random thoughts though, kind of kick things off this week. I got a few random thoughts this week, and one of the random thoughts that I had this week, man, is apparently black people are not allowed to really enjoy much of anything, man. You can't buy Jordans. You can't eat Popeye's chicken sandwiches. You can't do much of anything. You can't go to watch Harriet, you know, without motherfuckers trying to question whether or not you support white supremacy and if there's a white savior in the movie, all this sorts of shit. You can't enjoy nothing, man. So us here at the Span Report, especially me, Span specifically, I'm very like, you know, in some ways I have an independent streak in me where I'm just like kind of like, what fuck with them niggas is on. And so I would like to introduce myself. I'd like to reintroduce myself to you as Span. I'm black, and I enjoy things. And you know what? You should, too. You should, too. Just want to give you that tidbit, man. I'm Span. I'm black, and I enjoy things. All right? Yeah, take that with you. Take that with you. That's one of the random thoughts I had this week. I'm like, man, seems to be revolutionary nowadays, right? another thing, man, another little random thought that I had this week, man. So I saw earlier that there's the world's largest Starbucks opened up in Chicago. Now, I wonder why they decided to do that in Chicago as opposed to doing that in Seattle, where I believe Starbucks was founded. But the world's largest Starbucks was opened up in Chicago earlier this week, and it opened up to like long lines, like hundreds of people were in line for the Starbucks opening. And the first thing that came to my mind was, I wonder if they stood in line to vote. I kind of wondered, you know, because I didn't see the pontificating about these white folks standing in line for coffee in much the same way that I saw people pontificating about black people being in line for a chicken sandwich or black people being in line for Jordans or anything like that. Like, I just kind of wonder, you know, when white people are out there waiting in line for shit like iPhones and whatnot, we don't really, well, I know I do. I kind of clown them for the iPhone, but yeah, you don't really see that pontificating about them waiting in line so much as you do when black folks are out there trying to, you know, get them some shit that they might enjoy. So yeah, man, I wonder, did they vote? Do they vote? Do they have the same zeal that they have in voting that they do for the pumpkin spice latte? You know, I just kind of wonder if that's a thing, man. Now, another thing I had a random thought about this week, man. So apparently there was a fight in the NFL Thursday. They had a Thursday night game. Pittsburgh was playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Cleveland Browns. And Miles Garrett and some dude named Rudolph was in a fight. And Garrett like took Rudolph's helmet and like hit him in the head with it. Like, it was some real like crazy shit, right? You're like, oh shit. And then he got his ass whipped, right? Some dude came out, like, was stomping him on his head and everything. It was a real big thing, right? But you know what else is funny to me? You know what's real funny? Is that it's a whole lot of niggas that I've been seeing talking about they boycotting the NFL, talking about that motherfucking fight, man. Some of y'all out here lying. Yeah. Yeah, some of y'all out here lying. Now, all you niggas out here talking about this boycott shit ain't really motherfucking boycotting, and y'all just got caught slipping. I caught y'all slipping because y'all out here got just as much to say about the fight as everybody else. How is that possible if you boycott the NFL? Niggas, I got questions for you. These are the questions that need answers. How you out here analyzing the fight, who was wrong and who was right, whether or not Myles Garrett is being indiscriminately punished, or better yet, what's another word? What's the word that I'm looking for? Damn, I'm drawing a blank. But a big word that means like over, like they overindulging on this punishment. big word right there. Yeah, man, but y'all got a lot to say about that fight, man. But y'all ain't even supposed to be consuming NFL or nothing. I don't give a fuck if ESPN talking about it. You don't try to change the channel when they start talking about football? Because you boycotting, right? You don't want the NFL to get none of that money, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's on your social network, like, man, I'm boycotting NFL. Fuck that fight. And you keep on scrolling, but no. Nah, y'all niggas is right there. In the middle of the discussions about the fight. Some of y'all out here lying, B. And I just wanted to call y'all out. I mean, I ain't going embarrass y'all by calling out your names and everything, right? But I'm just saying, some of y'all out here lying, you know. That was a random thought. Now, another random thought that I had this week, man, Disney Plus came out this week. I had troubles getting the Disney Plus on my phone for whatever reason. I got a Pixel 4 XL and I couldn't get it. It was telling me that it was incompatible with my version, or like the version was incompatible with my phone. I'm like, how in the fuck is it incompatible? It's a brand new phone. Like, it just came out, not even a month ago. And, yeah, I couldn't get it initially. Apparently, it was because I had, like, a beta version of, like, Google Play services or something like that. You know, I'm into the beta testing and stuff. I really like to be on the bleeding edge of the technology shit, right? But that was what was holding me up, man. I had to go ahead and get rid of the beta version of that. And then, boom, I was able to download the app. Got it that day. I was bitching all day. Well, not all day, but pretty much the early morning part of that day. Because I'm like, man, I want to watch some of this shit, too. Came home, put that shit on all my iPad, put it on all my TVs, put it on my Xbox, you know, because I want to watch, you know, the Star Wars movies. I actually started watching like the first couple of them. Started watching those last night before I fell asleep on the second one. But, you know, be that as it may, Disney Plus came out this week. And it involved a lot of discussion on the internet this week about whether or not the cutting of the cord is being all it was cracked up to be early on. I remember there being a time where when people were talking about they were cutting the cord, they were getting rid of cable. You know, they was like, you know what, man, I'm gonna just go ahead and get this internet, and I'm gonna get this this young Netflix, I'm gonna get this young Hulu, man, and I'm gonna be straight, man. Shit, Hulu got the show, they got my shows on the regular TV, and then I can get the Netflix and that's everything else. You know what I'm saying? If I want to go watch a game, man, I might go to a bar or something, but shit, man, I'm saving money that way, right? And then it became a thing where, like, you know, suddenly and surely we started seeing more and more streaming services come on board. I mean, Amazon has, you know, Play Video. I mean, not Amazon Play Video. They got Prime Videos. Apple has, you know, they just opened up a new streaming service. Disney Plus is a thing. You know, Hulu has, like, you know, live TV on it now. YouTube has gotten into the streaming game. Like, all of these different services are now come on board. And truthfully, if you want to have all of the things, you may, like, mess around and be paying the same amount of money you were paying when you had cable the first time, right? Now, I know there are some people who would say, they're like, well, you ain't got to have all of them. Ain't nobody tell you to get all of them. And I'll be goddamn, no, leave me alone. and I'll be goddamn if, you know, those folks who say that you don't have to have everything, I think they're missing the point of the fact that, yo, when you talk about cutting the cord, if your cable company is the same company that is providing you with your high-speed internet that makes all of your fucking streaming dreams come true, you have not cut the cord, right? I think cutting the cord has essentially become like a euphemism for, like, I just don't want to pay for their TV services. But, yeah, man, you essentially end up just breaking up the money that you would have gave the cable company into other entities. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, some people are catching deals. You know, some people are like, man, fuck that. I got a fire stick. I ain't paying for none of this shit. You know, and I hear y'all, but I'm just like, you know, as a content creator, I'm just like, nah, fuck that. You know, pay me for my work. But, no, man, like, it's weird. Like, it used to be, like, say, for instance, like, just recently, as an example, you could get all of, like, the Marvel movies, Disney stuff, all that shit was on Netflix. And you were already paying for Netflix. Netflix is like one of those core streaming services that I think everybody seems to have some sort of level of connection to. And now, although it's not a whole lot of money, it's $7 more than what you were paying before. You know what I'm saying? And then like either these other services, they start diverging their content, start taking their content back from these other services, and then they put it on their own service that they just came up with. And now you, if you want to continue to watch the shows that you used to be able to watch on another streaming platform, yeah, if you want to continue to watch those shows, you got to go ahead and grab another subscription for this service. Now, there are other services like Stars. You know, I know a lot of people who get Stars and HBO for shows like, you know, Game of Thrones or Power and stuff like that. And then once they get through with the show, then they just let it go. But for the most part, man, you can, even with that, you can just buy those shows online. Like, you can buy them from Apple. You can buy them from Google. Like, you don't even have to subscribe to, you don't even have to subscribe to the channel. But I'm just saying, at a certain point, I know some of y'all wanted to dunk on the math for the people who was in, like, these services are starting to add back up to the cost of cables. Like, yeah, it kind of is, because they're diverging. All of these new services are coming up, and, you know, you used to be able to watch a lot of this shit on the services you already had. So yeah, the cost is going up, man. The cost is going up, and you ain't cutting no cord if you still getting your internet from the cable company. Just saying, you know, it just is what it is. Lord, real talk. It's going to be real funny with all these streaming services, when the cable companies decide to really enforce these data caps that they got on your home internet that y'all ain't really been privy to just about. So yeah, that's gonna be a thing. That's gonna be a thing going forward. Don't say Span ain't told you. Don't say Span ain't told you. But yeah, let's get into the news, y'all. All right, our first story here in the news is involving Michigan and weed. Yeah, man, I told y'all it's gonna be a weed heavy show. But yeah, here in Michigan, of course, you guys know we've been talking about it here on the show quite a bit. We've decided to legalize recreational use of marijuana in the state, and a lot of municipalities within the state are actually deciding that they don't necessarily want to have dispensaries that sell, you know, recreational use of marijuana. They don't want them to be able to sell in their city. It's kind of a way to divert the will of the public or the will of the voters. But in Detroit, ironically, is one of those cities. Kind of wild how that goes out. But there's this one dispensary in Walled Lake, Michigan. Very white area, Michigan, I should say. Walled Lake, Michigan is actually trying to get in on the craze of this Popeye's chicken shit. So I'm going to read the story here. This comes out of WXYZ.com. It says, this may be marketing genius. The owner of the greenhouse of Walled Lake Cannabis Dispensary is jumping on the Popeye chicken sandwich craze and giving away free sandwiches to the first 200 people in line of the business on Friday. Jerry Millen says the sandwiches are given out on a first-come, first-served basis, and the chicken sandwich isn't all that Millen is planning to give away. In addition to that, he said five of the 200 sandwiches will have $100 gold greenhouse gift certificate hidden inside. It's like Willy Wonka with marijuana. The giveaway is from 5 to 7 p.m. and the dispensary is located at, and they give the address in Walled Lake, Michigan. So, yeah, man, apparently, like, the Popeye's chicken story just won't stop. Even with this, they jumping in on that craze. I saw a story about a little boy working behind the counter at the Popeye's, man. Like, he was back there, like, loading boxes and shit behind the Popeye's because they didn't have enough hands at the Popeye's, man. Kind of crazy. I finally got my hands on a Popeye's chicken sandwich, man. And I'll tell you all this, man, right now. As much as I love Popeye's, that sandwich is about even with the Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich, bro. Now, maybe I need to get the extra spicy mayo for the sandwich. Maybe the extra spicy mayo might set it off a little bit more for your boy. But as I got it, I was biting into it. I mean, it's a good sandwich. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't dry. You know, I appreciate the fact that it wasn't dry and everything. But that spicy mayo, a little bit more of it might set it off for your boy. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate the weed dispensary. Like, you know what? You might be able to get high and get some chicken at the same time fucking with us. You know? Now, I don't even indulge, but I'm just saying, I'm happy for the motherfuckers who do. You know, I ain't no hater like that. Go ahead, get your high and your chicken on, bruh. Like, for real. Go ahead, man. I'm a little, like, you know, I'm going to just leave it at that. I'm going to just leave it at that, man. They giving out chicken sandwiches at the weed spot, man. It's a thing, man. It's a thing. It's happening in the news here in Michigan, man. Now, another more serious story we're going to talk a little bit about. Monique. Monique is in the news this week because she has decided that she is going to actually sue Netflix for racial and gender discrimination. All right, we're going to read this story here. This comes out of Yahoo.com. It says, Monique has filed a racial and gender discrimination lawsuit against Netflix. The Oscar-winning actress and comedian confirmed the news on Thursday. She shared the reasoning behind her decision, writing, I had a choice to make. I could accept what I felt was pay discrimination, or I could stand up for those who came before me and those who will come after me. I chose to stand up. The Precious Star's social media post ended by saying she has no further comment, but her appreciates the support and love of her fans. A Netflix spokesperson told Yahoo Entertainment, we care deeply about inclusion, equity, and diversity and take any accusations of discrimination very seriously. We believe our opening offer to Monique was fair, which is why we will be fighting this lawsuit. The lawsuit filed Thursday in LA accuses the streaming service of offering Monique a significantly lower salary for a stand-up comedy special, $500,000, compared to what white comedians were paid. It alleges that the company has a history of racial discrimination. Monique, who seeks unspecified damages, claims a biased, discriminatory offer was made to her for a one-hour comedy special in 2017. It was the lowball offer. It said that the lowball offer was a fraction of what Netflix paid other non-black female comedians. The lawsuit listed other comedians who reportedly were paid more. Jerry Seinfeld getting $100 million in 2017 for two specials and an interview series. Dave Chappelle being paid $60 million in 2016 for three specials. Chris Rock getting paid $40 million for two specials in 2016. Ricky Gervais being offered $40 million in 2016 for a two-show deal. And Amy Schumer getting $13 million in 2017 for one special. Netflix's offer to Monique perpetuates the drastic wage gap forced upon black women in America's workforce, the lawsuit stated. Now, so here's the thing, man. I get what Monique is trying to do. I don't know if she's going to be successful in this particular venture. And I think the reception to what she's been trying to do, I think people haven't really received it well. A lot of folks look at this as a selfish act on Monique's part, and they will turn and say, well, how could it be racial discrimination if, you know, they've given Dave Chappelle $60 million and they gave Chris Rock $40 million? And how can it be gender discrimination if they just gave Amy Schumer $13 million and, you know, they started limiting it to, or they start diverting it to whether or not there's a market for Monique to be received on Netflix and command that sort of payout, right? A lot of people will go to that. Like, nobody's checking for Monique. You know, we talked about this on the show earlier this year when this initially came, you know, became a thing. But, you know, when one of the reasons why I don't think that, you know, she's going to have much success with this is because of those talking points. Netflix will be able to point to a Dave Chappelle. Well, he's black and we gave him $40 million. We gave him $60 million, and Chris Rock is black and we gave him, $40 million. And, you know, Amy Schumer is a woman and we gave her $13 million. There really isn't any discrimination that, you know, to speak of. And they could point to those examples to kind of, you know, kind of shoo away or try to, you know, downplay some of the points that Monique is making. But Monique has this point of view where she feels as though, she's standing up for other black women who may be coming up behind her. And if she accepts this amount of money, then therefore a lot of black women coming behind her may, you know, if she feels like if I'm up here and I got women coming behind me who aren't at this level yet, and this is the ceiling that y'all are setting for me, then it's also stunning the growth of those women who may be coming behind me. Black women in particular. Friend of the show, Corey Boyd Bell, is currently touring with Monique right now. Just full disclosure, y'all have heard of Corey here on the show before. But here's the thing, man. And I think this is very interesting. Very interesting in how this is being received, at least how I'm seeing it being received on social media quite a bit. Because again, when this was initially announced, when Monique was initially making her point, a whole lot of people just rolled their fucking eyes, man. A whole lot of people just felt like, yo, you know, nobody's really checking for Monique like that. They don't like Monique's comedy. And they assume, a lot of folks assume that because I don't like Monique's comedy, therefore, and the people that I know don't like Monique's comedy, then therefore Monique doesn't have an audience. And I'm here to tell you that the world is so much bigger than the people that you know. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there are people who fuck with Monique and fuck with Monique heavy. There's a, that she has a fan base. So there's that. But, you know, it's interesting because I don't see the same level of vitriol being aimed at someone like Byron Allen, right? Now, Byron Allen is also a comedian. Byron Allen is also, like, Byron Allen is a billionaire, like, surprisingly so. Like, I remember seeing Byron Allen, like, hosting, like, little variety shows at late nights, like, interviews and stuff like that. He used to do interview shows and whatnot. I used to see him on late nights on, like, local television and stuff like that. Never really, like, had a whole lot. When I'm thinking comedians, Byron Allen wasn't one of those people that I thought of. You know what I'm saying? I kind of always saw him as like the interview guy late on late nights. You know what I'm saying? And what is it like? He had like a late night talk show, which is like kind of late night. Like you see Byron Allen at like 1 o'clock in the morning a lot of times. But Byron Allen has been a very astute and very successful businessman on the other side of it. And he's a billionaire now. I think Byron Allen owns the Weather Channel, right? And so Byron Allen right now is involved in a case with Comcast where he's fighting for the ability for his channels to be broadcast on Comcast, I believe Comcast and Cox cable services. And apparently, like, those two services are pretty much giving Byron Allen the stiff arm when it comes to broadcasting his channels. And he's fighting that. He's been appealing, or he's been winning, but apparently Comcast and Cox have been appealing, and they've appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court. Now, there's something to do with the Civil Rights Act of, I believe it's 1866, that there's a provision in that act that has something to do with fighting, or as a matter of fact, let me not speak out of turn. Let me pull that damn provision up. So that let me pull that up real quick. There we go. Let me pull this provision up. Okay. So what is the provision? Okay. So it's the Civil Rights Act of 1866 barring racial discrimination against non-white individuals in contracts. This is what's being fought. And so what we're seeing with Byron Allen is being, okay, let's.
All of the newly released testimony.
Okay, let's turn that off. But yeah, so Byron Allen is fighting this all the way up to the Supreme Court. They've gotten this to the Supreme Court. The Trump administration has already, you know, put their they've already put their side in on this for Comcast. You know, where the Justice Department lays their support for. We already know that the Supreme Court is leaning heavily Republican because of the two justices that Donald Trump has been able to appoint to the Supreme Court in this term. So it's not really looking good for Byron Allen in that regard. And this provision is in jeopardy because of this particular case. But the thing that I don't quite understand is that both of these people seem to be fighting for those who are coming behind them. And yet one of them, we're looking at his case as though, like, yo, this is very important for black people going forward. And the other one, we're just kind of looking at it like, man, fuck that bitch. Like, and it's been kind of weird, like, watching how it's being received. Like, and again, it's not to say that I don't like Byron Allen. Like I said, Byron Allen, I used to see him on TV late nights doing interviews with other celebrities. It was kind of like, you know, end of the night show. This is what you watch before you go to bed at night. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like the late night with, you know, it wasn't like Arsenio Hall or nothing like that. Like, you just see him and he was an affable guy. Like, again, and he's been very successful on the business end of it. And so the thing I'm trying to find out is, like, why are we looking at Byron Allen as someone who's fighting for the race? And why are we simultaneously looking at Monique like, you know, this is something that she's just doing for herself personally? Because I can tell you right now, like, if Byron Allen, who had a personal interest, like, I want my television networks played on these cable platforms and they're not letting me do it. That's one could look at that and say, like, yo, man, that sounds very selfish of you to, like, you know, jeopardize the Civil Rights Act of 1866 so that you can get your fucking networks played on cable TV. You got all these networks, come up with your own service. Somebody could say that. Someone could say that. But we're not saying that because we understand that, like, yo, what he's saying is important. It's a fight for, it's a fight that you don't want to have later, but it's a fight that you have to have now. And hopefully that fight comes out in your favor, and then you've opened up a door for those coming behind you. So why aren't we leaving that same sort of, you know, why aren't we having that same sort of attitude when it comes to Monique? It's been very interesting kind of watching this play out, man. Like, again, I don't know if either one of them are going to win either of these cases. I don't know if Monique is going to be able to win this case because, like I said, Dave Chappelle's got money. So he's, you know, Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, they done paid them. That's your racial angle. Amy Schumer, they done paid her. That's your gender angle. I don't know if she's going to be able to pull this off. In much the same way that I don't know if Byron Allen is going to be able to pull this off because of how the system is structured in this fight. I'd be very surprised if either one of them won either of these cases. Right? But it's been very interesting to see how people have been receiving the news concerning Byron Allen and this fight with Comcast going up to the Supreme Court, and how people have been receiving Monique's fight against Netflix and how she feels that Netflix is being discriminatory against black women. It's been very interesting to watch how that's played out. But yeah, man, that's in the news. Another story that's in the news, man, something a little bit lighter. I think it's a little bit lighter. Middle America, man, rejoice. I mean... Middle America rejoice, man. Matter of fact, just... Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There is a dildo factory coming to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It's happening. So apparently, the people of Lancaster, Pennsylvania are being invested in by a company called Mr. Fister Dildos. So, California-based Mr. Fister Dildos announced today that they will be opening a new factory in Lancaster in the spring of 2016. Man, that's an old story. Man. So, they've been doing the dildos in there, man. Lancaster got a whole bunch of dicks all over the place. Now, you know what? I don't even want to read this story no more. I'm sorry, y'all. They got the dicks already, man. My bad. moving on. To some more Trump shit, actually, some shit that's in the news. Donald Trump campaign advisor, Roger Stone, is actually, he's been convicted of lying to Congress, witness tampering, and obstruction of justice. Now, this brings the total of Trump advisors who have been indicted and or convicted to six. Six. Count them. Six, man. Now, I remember, like, if Trump used to talk about while he was running for president that, you know, he got the best people. You know what I'm saying? I got the best people. I surround myself by the best people. And I think Donald Trump was getting confused. He was confusing the word people with criminals. He should have been saying, I got the best criminals in the world. They're all around me. I got the best criminals. But no, Donald Trump has a lot of criminals surrounding him. And of course, he's being impeached because of a lot of the criminal activity that's been going on around him. Rudy Giuliani may be the seventh person who is like indicted and convicted and surrounded by Trump. And Trump is going to pretend like he don't know him. But we're going to read this story here. This comes out of CBSNews.com. It says that Trump's former campaign advisor, Roger Stone, was found guilty by a jury on Friday of all seven charges that he faced. He was charged with lying to Congress, witness tampering, and obstruction. Stone faces up to 50 years in prison. The witness tampering charges carries a maximum penalty of 20 years, while the maximum for each of the other six charges is 5 years. The prosecution portrayed him as a liar trying to protect himself and then help then candidate Donald Trump win the 2016 presidential race at any cost. Roger Stone does not pick and choose which facts he thinks are important and lie about the rest of them, said prosecutor Jonathan Kravis in the closing arguments of the trial that ended a week earlier than expected. Stone was accused of collaborating with WikiLeaks to release Democrats' emails that were hacked by Russia in order to damage Hillary Clinton, Mr. Trump's 2016 opponent, and lying about it. He was also found guilty of tampering with a witness, radio personality Randy Credico, pressing him not to cooperate with a congressional investigation that involved Stone. Prosecutors presented evidence throughout the trial that Stone tried to get information from WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, specifically asking for details about the hacked emails that WikiLeaks published in order to influence the 2016 election. The defense team tried to convince the jury that Stone lacked corrupt intent in his words and actions and never actually had access to WikiLeaks. Now, I'm just going to say this, man. I remember also Donald Trump, while he was running for president, talking about the reason why we shouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton is because Hillary Clinton will be inundated with lawsuits and inundated with investigations, and she wouldn't have a chance to govern because she's so corrupt that we'd have to it'd be constant investigations. Ironic. That's kind of what we're dealing with right now with Donald Trump, right? Ironic. And on top of that, to make matters worse, the Trump Justice Department has like kind of quietly ended the, you know, the email investigation that they had into Hillary Clinton, the one that they kind of opened up just to say that they did it. They quietly closed that one. They didn't announce any indictments. They didn't announce any further investigations into that. That shit's closed, B. That shit's closed. All that talk about her fucking emails and it amounted to nothing. Meanwhile, you got six convictions. You got, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, Michael Cohen, George Papadopoulos. It's like two more other cats. I don't know their names right off the top of my head right now. Six motherfuckers, though, associated with Trump, closely associated with Trump. All of them indicted, convicted of federal felony charges. And so, yeah, man. I'm just saying, it's that bullshit, and that's been the news. All right. Now, before we go into Blue Blazes, I did say that we had some listener feedback. So let me get to this listener feedback before we move on with the show. But we got an email, and this email here comes from someone who wrote in FDA 2020. And it says, repeatedly on this show, you talk about racism of the Republican Party and why they don't make inroads with black people, while at the same time ignoring or denigrating the black people who identify with traditional Republican political perspectives by calling them names like coon. One of your favorite targets is Candace Owens, and I believe you're actually afraid of her because she's moving so many black young people away from the Democratic plantation. Okay. My question to you, sir, is do you think the charges of racism have been diluted when speaking about Republicans because young people have been told that Republicans are racist for so long, but when they open their minds, they're finding this to be a long debunked myth? First of all, the whole plantation thing, like as much as you would talk about it being an insult for me to call black people who associate with the Republican Party coons, I think it's also equally insulting for you to insist that like black people who don't fuck with the Republican Party as part of the Democratic plantation as if they aren't smart enough to think for themselves as to who they are politically aligned with. Right. Now, one of the things that I've said on this show repeatedly is that black people are actually quite politically astute. And by and large, black people have made the political calculus that when it comes to public policy, when it comes to national political policy, that more of the political platform that the Democratic Party represents more aligns with the majority of black people. Not that they are embedded with Democrats. I think black people are well aware and understand that there have been some problematic legislation and problematic positions from the Democratic side of the aisle. Although, by and large, when we think about who we're going to vote for, it's like, well, I don't know if the Republican Party is presenting a political platform that more speaks to my my political perspective. And so a lot of black people have made the calculus of like, yo, I don't really fuck with the Republican Party based on that. Right. Now, so when we start talking about the racism of the Republican Party, if you've really been listening to the show, like I document quite often, like some of the ridiculous and racist political positions that Republicans tend to take, oftentimes, or not even just racist, policies that adversely affect black people on a national scale, a lot of times Republicans are lockstep in favor for, right? So when I talk about black people who identify Republican, a lot of times you don't really hear me calling them coons. What you do hear me say is you also have to understand that a lot of the people who look like you won't benefit from this program the way you think that they will, because a lot of what happens is, and you just did it with your email where you said that the black people who are on the political plantation of the Democrats, is that a lot of black people who vote Republican tend to try to separate themselves from the rest of blackness. Right? Try to separate yourself. I'm a fancy Negro. I'm not like them Negroes over there. Them Negroes over there ain't made the political calculus to know that the Democrats is bad for them. No, they made the calculus and understand that, like, yeah, the Republicans ain't offering me a motherfucking thing to consider voting for them. They don't even come to our districts to come get our vote. They don't even, you know, y'all talk about pandering, but they don't even come campaign for you over at the Republican Party. They don't tell you what they're going to do other than take resources from your districts. That's what happens. And so when you have a Republican Party whose standard bearer right now is Donald Trump, and who has a member of his cabinet by the name of Stephen Miller, who has been known to promote racist, xenophobic political ideas, and he has the ear of the president, and policy is then coming down that reflects that racist ideology that someone like a Stephen Miller would present. And then you find out that Stephen Miller is forwarding, you know, emails with companies like Breitbart and like, you know, taking a lot of white nationalist racist talking points and presenting them to Breitbart and saying you should lead a story with this right here. Like when you have people like that surrounded by when the president, the Republican Party surrounds themselves with people like that. Yeah. Yeah, I think that Republicans are racist. So then on top of that, you talk about them being, you know, black people moving on to the Republican Party because they've been told that, you know, Republicans have been racist for so long and they found out to be a long debunked myth, I believe is what you said. Here's the thing. So what happens is you get subtle racism. For a long time, we got a lot of subtle racism. We got racism that was spoken of in, like, coded language, so to speak. A good person to look to would be Lee Atwater, who's a Republican strategist, worked on the Nixon campaign, was also instrumental, I believe, in Ronald Reagan's election. And he spoke about how the Republican Party coded a lot of their language that was racist in its intent, but innocuous in his language, so that you didn't really pick up on it unless, you know, because you start talking about taxes, you start talking about the whole busing thing. And then he talked about how it moves away from being about busing, then it moves to be about taxes. But at the same time, all of this is happening to the detriment of black people, but you're not calling them niggas. There's a whole video on YouTube. As a matter of fact, I think I played it here on the show once before. So when you're talking to somebody like me, who I've looked at this stuff quite often, man, like I do this, like I can't get on this mic and not know or not have an idea of somewhat of what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about racism, like, yeah, the Republican Party has traditionally in the black community been seen as racist because they've supported policies that have been detrimental to black people by and large. But because you are like kind of, you know, passive in your racism, it doesn't mean it's not racist. And so what we're seeing now is overt racism in the most powerful office in the land. And we haven't seen this in much of our lifetimes, right? Haven't seen it this blatant and this out front in a lot of our lifetimes. So when we see this now, it's not that the Republican Party wasn't racist before. They just weren't as blatant with it before. They've always been racist to a degree, at least in the span of my life. I understand about the history of the Republican Party after Reconstruction. I understand all of that. I also understand how the party changed positions after the 1964 and the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. I understand how the dynamics of the Republican Party and the demographics of the Democratic Party and the Republican parties both shifted after those legislative pieces were put into place. So, yeah. When I talk about racism in the Republican Party here on this show, I'm speaking from a place of knowledge and a place of history and knowing what the fuck it is I'm seeing. And I'm also seeing that you talking about black people being on the Democratic plantation only does you're doing to me what you accuse me of doing, which is trying to separate yourself from black people. Only thing different is you're trying to make it out as if you're better than those black people because you seem to found a different way to look at life or a different way to look at, you know, politics. I'll say we'll disagree on that. I'll say that by and large, what may be working for you in the Republican Party, by and large, may not necessarily work for a good 89 to 90% of black people. And the numbers are bearing that out. So thanks for writing in. But yeah, let's get to Blue Blazers.
What in Blue Blazers is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazers?
All right, now our first story here in Blue Blazers, man. Oh man, this is sort of kind of a shitty situation. Real talk, like not even bullshitting. Oh man, all right. So we're gonna read the story. It says a bucket of hot diarrhea was randomly poured on a woman and by a homeless man in Hollywood. God damn, man. Wait. Yeah, there we go.
God damn!
There we go. So let me read this story. It comes out of NBC Los Angeles. It says, a night near the Hollywood Walk of Fame would change a woman's life as she was getting into her car and a homeless man sprinted across Hollywood Boulevard toward her. Heidi Van Tassel was parked in Hollywood after having a pleasant evening out with the friends at an authentic Thai restaurant. Suddenly, a man randomly pulled her out of her car, dragged her out into the middle of the street, and dumped a bucket of feces on her head. Van Tassel said, and public records confirmed, it was diarrhea, hot liquid. I was soaked, and it was coming off my eyelashes and into my eyes. Oh, Lord, no, that's... Ugh. Said paramedics who came to treat me said there was so much of it on me that it looked like the man was saving it up for a month. Van Tassel, who was rushed to Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital after the grotesque attack, where she was tested for infectious diseases caused by contact with feces. She'll need to be retested every 3 months. It was all inside my car because it was so much. She just kept pouring it and it splattered all over me. Oh, my God. She said the Los Angeles Police Department told her that they'd investigate the crime, but her phone calls to the department went unanswered. Van Tassel said the police also promised to have her victim's advocate reach out to her to offer services. She said that she never got a call. It's so traumatic. The PTSD that I'm dealing with is beyond anything I've ever felt. Van Tassel said there needs to be some kind of help for the victims of these crimes. Now, I don't know how many victims of those kind of crimes there are. I mean, is this like a serial thing? You know, was he drinking milk? You know, was it like that? You know? Was he extra? I mean, was he drinking?
And nigga, you got a whole lot of nerve ordering an extra side of greens at a time like this.
That could be a thing, too, you know, because greens will keep a motherfucker regular. You know, greens will keep a nigga regular. Shit rolls downhill. I do say that. So, like, if the police ain't doing their thing, man, it's because the shit ain't rolled all the way downhill yet. She got to talk to the higher ups, you know what I'm saying, so the shit can roll downhill. This is crazy, man. It's crazy. This is a real shitty situation. Oh, man. Well, I hope she ain't had air conditioning on because we really didn't want the shit to hit the fan, you know? Oh, man, that's terrible. I should be laughing at that. I really shouldn't. I shouldn't be laughing at that. That's fucked up. That's fucked up. But that's in Blue Blazers, y'all. Now, another story that's in Blue Blazers, man. Wait, no, this isn't the one. This isn't the one. This isn't the story I'm looking for. Here we go. So a man went to McDonald's, got himself a sweet tea, and he said that shit came with a side of weed. So we're going to read this story. This comes out of WXYZ.com. It says a South Carolina man who went to McDonald's for a sweet tea says he received a little extra herbal substance on the side. The Island Packet reports Parrish Brown went to a McDonald's on Hilton Head Island and asked for a sweet tea with light ice and extra lemon. Brown now believes that extra lemon was cold for marijuana since he found 3 bags of weed in his cup. He says he only realized it once he was high as a kite. Okay. Oh, Mason Brown says he never had marijuana, so he didn't recognize the taste. He said he paid regular price for the items. Okay, so this is what don't make sense about this whole thing, right? If he believes that extra lemon was cold for the marijuana, they put three bags of weed in his tea. And he didn't pay no extra money for that. You know what I'm saying? Usually they'd be like, all right, it's an upcharge. You know what I'm saying? He ain't pay no extra money for that. They just put the weed in there and they ain't getting nothing from it. That don't make sense, man. somebody mistakenly put they shit in there. Or they might have been getting in trouble and they were trying to hide it real quick, get rid of it real quick. Boom, it was in his drink. He ain't even know it. They ain't know it either. Could have been one of those things. It says Beaufort County Sheriff's Office spokesman Major Bob Bromage says an investigation is ongoing. It didn't specify which McDonald's Brown had gone to. A representative from McDonald's said the company is fully cooperating with law enforcement on the validity of this claim. So all I know is I know a whole lot of weed smokers, whole lot of weed consumers who would have got that extra tea, that they'd have got that weed and they'd just been sitting in that drive thru. Just saying, man, you got to count your blessings when they come. Man, you got to receive those blessings when they come. Calling the police and shit, man. You felt good after you drank that tea. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with him, man? Anyway, that's in Blue Blazers, man. Another story in Blue Blazers, yo. So the police, man, sometimes, you know, the police get bad rap here on the Spin Report, man. We always talk shit about the police, man. Police always fucking with a nigga. I mean, so basically the police get a bad rap on here and they get the bad rap because they doing some fucked up shit out here. Let's not get it fucked up. They doing some messed up stuff. But here's one officer who's just trying to have a good time, baby. This officer was just out here trying to kick it, get down on the floor like a pimp, like, you know, David Banner used to tell a nigga to do, right? He was in Arkansas. But he got down on the floor naked. And that wasn't the business. So we're going to read the story. As a matter of fact, nah, I think there's video to this. Yep, there's video to this. Let me pull this video up so y'all can watch this right along with your boy, man. Let's do this here. Let me share this screen. Here we go. All right, so check this out, y'all. The police getting naked in the bar. Okay. Man, he, like, for real. Like, he had get dressed outside, everybody standing around with their phones and stuff. He was messed up. You could tell he was drunk. Yeah, he was drunk. Oh, man. All right. So that's the video. This man was at that party drunk as I don't know what, naked as a jaybird.
Hello, I'm Mark Brown. Click the ABC7 logo to subscribe to our Eyewitness News YouTube channel.
Hold on. This Mark Brown guy, y'all remember years ago, there was a picture of like Mark Brown. He was reporting the news. He was reporting the news and it was a murder suspect and they had the sketch right next to his face and the sketch looked just like him. It's a meme of that shit going around here somewhere, man. It's this dude right here. It's this dude right here. This guy was actually he had a meme, but he fit the description of the dude he was reporting on, man. It was crazy. But let's read the story of this police officer, man. So let me go back up here. It says, just a small town cop living in a Puritan world. An Arkansas police officer has been suspended without pay after he was caught on video dancing to Journey's Don't Stop Believing while drunk, fully naked, and in front of dozens of people at a Little Rock nightclub. Officer Sabron Hackett of the Conway Police Department was off duty and seemed to be highly intoxicated when he stripped off all of his clothes and took over the dance floor at Discovery Nightclub on October 13th, the city's police chief said in a later letter of suspension obtained by local station KATV. Your actions have brought discredit and embarrassment upon the Conway Police Department, and you could have resulted in your arrest for public intoxication, Chief Jody Spratlin wrote. The wild dance video recorded by several people holding cell phones at the scene shows Hackett stumbling around and attempting some awkward dance moves as onlookers, some horrified, others amused, cheered him on or watched in disbelief. Two security guards struggled to remove him from the dance floor, but they eventually escorted him out of the building, according to the video. Now, yeah, man, Sabron Hackett trying to have a good time, man. You know, sometimes, you know, I mean, he took it overboard, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I ain't above, you know, everybody trying to have a good time. Man, just keep your pants on, bro. Yeah, you don't want that thing flopping around everywhere. Like, you might touch somebody. You don't need to be touching nobody and everything. Just keep it up. Keep it tucked in, baby. Just keep it tucked in, man. That's in Blue Blazers, man. Now, another story. I thought this was kind of funny. Another story here in Blue Blazers, man. Apparently, there was this man who was convicted of murder, and he got a life sentence. Well, at some point, this dude apparently, died, but they revived him. And so he basically is like, yo, since I died, y'all need to let me go because I pretty much served this life sentence. Yeah, man. He like, yo, y'all need to let me go. The life sentence has been served. I died already. So let me read the story here. This comes out of CNN.com. It says an Iowa inmate serving a life sentence says he should be a free man after he became ill, momentarily died, and had to be revived at the hospital. But the courts are having none of it. Benjamin Schreiber was sentenced to life in prison without parole in 1997 after being convicted of first-degree murder. In March of 2015, he developed large kidney stones that led to septic poisoning, according to court documents. He eventually fell unconscious in a cell and was taken to a local hospital where he was resuscitated five separate times, the documents say. According to the Iowa Court of Appeals, Schreiber claims he momentarily died at the hospital, thereby fulfilling his life sentence. Because the sentence has been fulfilled, he argues he is in prison illegally and should be immediately released. Now, real talk, man, like real talk, I mean, you know, I kind of side with old boy, man. Like he found a technicality in much the same way that a lot of lawyers do. Like, yo, man, I died, man. I kicked the bucket. Like they brought me back and shit. They ain't have to bring me back, but they did. But since I really did die, I'm on my second life, like Mario. Y'all need to let her know if I'm going up out of here, bro. You know, I'm just saying, you know, like I technically have served this sentence out. You know what I'm saying? Like you can count that other sentence time as good behavior. Oh, man, it says the district court previously denied Schreiber's motion, and on Wednesday, the Iowa Court of Appeals upheld the lower court's decision. In its opinion, the appeals court said a plain reading of Iowa law says defendants guilty of a Class A felony must spend the rest of their natural life in prison, regardless of how long that period of time ends up being or any events occurring before the defendant's life ends. Schreiber is either alive, in which case he must remain in prison, Judge Amanda Potterfield wrote, or he is dead, in which case this appeal is moot. The attorney for Schreiber did not immediately respond for requests to comment Friday morning. It's unclear whether Schreiber plans to take the case to a high court. And I say he should. Man. Like, hey, man, all them little stipulations you just read out to me, ma'am, I don't want to hear none of that shit. I died. Now I'm back. Free me. This is some bullshit. I'm serving a whole new life, baby. It's a whole new thing for me. I done seen the light. You know what I'm saying? God told me to go back there and be a beacon of light and hope for the rest of the people of the world, man. If I can make a change, then everybody can do it. You know what I'm saying? Because I emerged from this. They not going to let his ass out, though. But I ain't going to lie. I support his fight. Because if he can get out for this shit, man, listen. It's going to be a whole lot of brothers up in there like, nigga. Oh, they got to free me. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. That's been Blue Blazers, y'all.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, but y'all know what time it is.
That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
All right, that's enough of this shit. It's proud to be an American time here at the Span Report Podcast. And our first story here is more weed, man. More weed in the podcast, yo. I swear y'all think I'd smoke as much weed we talked about here on the show tonight. So apparently here in Michigan, we about to start selling recreational marijuana a little bit earlier than expected. Now, they were talking about this being a thing next year, like March of next year. But as it stands, Michigan about to start selling that recreational marijuana. How about December 1st? We're going to read a story here. This comes out of Fox2Detroit.com. It says, with legal recreational marijuana, it represents the beginning of a new normal in Michigan. Michigan's Marijuana Regulatory Agency announced Wednesday adults 21 and older will be able to buy bud from retailers December 1st, which is earlier than expected. Potrepreneurs like Omar Hishman expects his provisioning center, Exclusive Brands, in Ann Arbor to be one of roughly a dozen businesses to have the green light to sell recreational marijuana come December. We are anticipating a January 1 recreational date, he said. To know that it's December 1 is even more exciting. We're anticipating it's going to be very busy and it's going to be a real positive response, especially being here in Ann Arbor. Oh, man, College Town? Whoo, they're going to get fucked up. Michigan voters decriminalized the recreational use of marijuana last year. MRA is allowing some medical marijuana shops as well as licensed growers and processors to use half of their supply of sativa for recreational sales. The adult use is just getting started, and we don't want the same thing to happen on the adult use side. The lack of supply as we have seen on the medical side. It takes a little time for the product to grow and process, said Thomas Levine, a lawyer with Cannabis Council. Fox 2 caught up with him in his office in downtown Detroit where the legal advice costs, but the whiffs of weed come free. Okay. Where the legal advice costs, but the whiffs of weed come free. The state started taking applications for recreational marijuana license November 1st, and a spokesman for MRA says that they should be issuing licenses around Thanksgiving. It was months and months, if not years, in the making, said Norma Jarris, Exclusive Brands. Even before the application process, make sure that all of our processes were the most efficient, we're the best, and we're the safest of all of our patients, and that is our priority. We did that, and that's why we're prepared to be the first to submit on November 1. So, yeah, here in Michigan, December 1st, recreational marijuana will be on sale at select dispensaries. So I guess, like, for those of you who, like, you know, have weed holidays and stuff, man, I guess, you know, happy December 1. You know, it's a thing. It's a hell of a lot sooner than folks thought it would be. But, you know, I guess that was something that would be something to be proud to be an American about. Right. You know, I know a lot of times we got a lot of bad American news and proud to be an American. But I guess that would be something you could be proud about in being an American, is that the voters said, like, yo, we want the weed. And then, like, they got to sell you the weed. And so the other thing about it, though, is that, like I said earlier in the show, that a lot of municipalities in Michigan are actually opting out of allowing recreational use of marijuana sales in their town. So it's going to be real interesting to see how this goes forward, whether or not those people on those city councils will keep their seats when folks find out how they voted, man, especially since this law passed overwhelmingly on the ballot initiative. So yeah, there you go. Now, another story, and this is kind of crazy, here in proud to be an American, Ohio, man. Ohio, I don't know what's up with y'all. I mean, outside of Ohio State, there ain't a whole lot. I hate Ohio State. Let me just put that out there. But apparently, man, like, they got this law here in Ohio, or at least they're considering a law. It's already passed the Ohio House of Representatives, where the kids can answer science questions wrong. They can answer them wrong if the answers coincide with their religious upbringing. And I'm trying to get this. I don't know what the hell's going on with this particular website, but it's not loading up. So what the hell is going on here? All right, here we go. Let me pull this up so you guys can watch right along with me, because there's video attached to this story. So let me pull this up. All right. All right, here we go.
We're weighing in on how public schools can teach things like evolution. The House today passed the Student Religious Liberties Act. Long story short, students cannot be penalized if their work is scientifically wrong, just as long as the reasoning is because of their religious beliefs. Instead, students are graded on substance and relevance. Every Republican in the House supported the bill.
Of course they did.
Now moves to the Republican-controlled Senate.
Rookwood Pottery Showroom and over.
All right. So, yeah. So they're allowing the kids to get the answers wrong so long as it has a religious basis on it. So check this out, man. and this is something that I think a lot of times Republicans are very much in favor of, is keeping the public dumb as shit. Because if you have an uninformed public, they can't really argue against some of the dumb shit that you're doing. And in fact, you can argue that some of the dumb shit that you're doing is in their favor. Now, this is one of those things where, as a as I guess you would call me a Democrat, man, whoever that was, FDA 2020. Yo, you won't find too many Democrats saying, yeah, you can get the answer wrong so long as it coincides with your religious belief. Nah, either the answer is right or the answer is wrong, period. Don't give a damn about your religion. That's just what it is. Get the answer right or you get it wrong. You can't say that the world is 2,000 years old. Well, the world is 2,020 years old because you believe that's what the Bible says. No, it's 2,020 years after they say the death of Jesus or whatever. But then you get, like, you're gonna just negate millions and millions and millions of years of scientific evidence that, like, yo, this place been here a long time before humans even stepped foot on this, boy. And I don't know if you can really, really walk around here talking about some, yo, the humans walk with the dinosaurs, man. I don't really know if that's the thing, you know? But there's an anti-intellectualism strain that I think permeates a lot of right-wing sort of communities, man. Or like just right-wing ideology, I think a lot of times is real anti-intellectual. Like you see a lot of the times it's usually Republicans who are arguing against climate change. You see a lot of Republicans who are arguing against students learning about the actual history of these United States. So they'll start reframing different sorts of, like they'll start reframing different words. Slaves weren't slaves. They were workers. You know, they were immigrant workers that came here. And as if they came here on their own accord and could leave whenever the fucking felt like it. No, that wasn't the case at all. And so this being yet another thing, like they start talking about this Religious Liberties Act, like as though your religion gives you the right to be wrong, as if you get to impose your religion on others because this is what you believe and they may not. Like, these are some of the things that the Republican Party does where I'm just like, man, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? This is stupid, you know? And that's not even on a black white basis. That's just like on some, like, yo, that's just dumb, right? And it got all support of Republicans in that house, right? You ain't see a single Democrat's name next to that one. Not one, because they realize this is fucking stupid. This is dumb. So, yeah, man. That's in that's in Proud to Be an American. That is. They always hiding behind fucking religious liberty to do stupid shit, man. Another story that's in Proud to Be an American is some judges, man. Some judges got into a scrap. Now, this sounds like a joke. You know what I'm saying? This sounds like a joke. Three judges walk into a White Castle, right? Two of them walk out with gunshot wounds. Which one did it? The whole shit. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of NPR.com. It says, back in May, three Indiana judges got into a fight. It was the crescendo of an incident brimming with colorful details. A gaggle of judges drinking the night before a judicial conference, a failed attempt to visit a strip club called the Red Garter, a brawl in the parking lot of an Indianapolis White Castle. So these motherfuckers went drinking. They went to the strip club. Then they got wasted at the White. They was wasted, went to the White Castle and got the bus in caps. Oh, man, it says the altercation apparently started sometime after 3 a.m. when one of the judges, Sabrina Bell, raised the middle finger at two men yelling from a passing SUV and ended after one of those men shot two of the judges. Oh, shit, they ain't had a gun. But the judge started the shit. Oh, man, the judge started the shit. In between the three judges took a number of actions that discredited the entire Indiana judiciary, according to an opinion posted by the Indiana Supreme Court this week, suspending the judges. The court found that the three, Andrew Adams, Bradley Jacobs, and Sabrina Bell, had engaged in judicial misconduct by appearing in public in an intoxicated state and behaving in an injudicious manner and by becoming involved in a verbal altercation. Adams and Jacobs engaged in further judicial misconduct by becoming involved in a physical altercation for which Judge Adams was criminally charged and convicted. The document lays out the events as soberly as possible, but the details remain spicy. While in town to attend a statewide educational conference for judicial officers, 10 hours before the program convened, respondents walked the streets of downtown Indianapolis in a heavily intoxicated state. When Judge Bell extended her middle finger to a passing vehicle, neither Judge Adams nor Judge Jacobs discouraged the provocation or removed themselves from the situation. The three had ended up at a White Castle after trying to go to a strip club at 3 a.m. and finding it closed. A fourth judge went into the White Castle while Bell, Adams, and Jacobs stood outside. Two men in the passing vehicle, Alfredo Vasquez and Brandon Kaiser, parked their car after the gesture from Bell. Bell and Vasquez traded further insults. A physical altercation ensued among the four men, with Adams and Vasquez allegedly hitting and kicking each other as Jacobs and Kaiser wrestled on the ground. Kaiser then allegedly pulled a gun and shot Adams once in the stomach and Jacobs twice in the chest. God damn! Better yet...
God damn!
Yeah, shit. Adams and Jacobs were both seriously wounded and required emergency surgeries. Jacobs was hospitalized for 2 weeks. Bell tried to stop the fighting by pounding on the door of the White Castle for help and calling 911 once the shots were fired. While at the scene, Bell was recorded on video telling police detectives something akin to, "I feel like this is all my fault," though the opinion notes that Bell was intoxicated enough that she lacks any memory of the incident. So, yeah, man. It's kind of fucked up when the paragons of virtue, supposedly in society, the ones who are out here deciding what's right and what's wrong, is out here engaged in the tomfoolery along with the rest of us. But yeah, man, that's fucking crazy. Two judges, he got shot twice in the chest, and the other one got shot once in the stomach. God, man, that's crazy. That basically had...
Oh, brother, whoa. Now, you got too much dip on your chip.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. That's fucking crazy. But that's in Proud to Be an American. Now... another story here that's in Proud to Be an American, and it's a little bit more, a little bit more political. Talk about President Obama. President Obama apparently has got some people in their feelings right now. He spoke at a conference, and he's essentially speaking about the 2020 Democratic presidential primary, the debates and everything, and basically just trying to give a bit of advice to the candidates on what they should do, how they should move forward and everything. But what he said actually got some people in their feelings. So I'm going to read the story here. This comes out of Politico.com. It says, "For those who get stressed about robust primaries, I just have to remind you that I had a very robust primary," Obama said, according to a transcript of the event. "Not only did I win, ultimately, a remarkably tough and lengthy primary process with Hillary Clinton, but people forget that even before that, we had a big field of really serious accomplished people. The former president encouraged Democrats to think practically about politics that will appeal to regular voters. I think it is very important for all the candidates who are running at every level to pay some attention to where voters actually are and how they can actually think about their lives," Obama said. "The average American doesn't think we have to completely tear down the system and remake it," Obama said. "They just don't want to see crazy stuff." Obama said he's cognizant his name comes up and stuff during the primary, but he told the crowd, "I wouldn't run the same campaign today in this environment as I ran in 2008, in part because we made enough progress since 2008, of which I'm very proud." Obama urged Democrats to not stick too closely to his work while in office, saying the Affordable Care Act was a good starter home, but historically, the way social programs get built in our country, just like Social Security and Medicare, they start modestly and then you build. "I want proposals that are bolder with respect to reducing inequality and giving people more opportunity and allowing us to make more investments in our infrastructure and our education systems and others," Obama continued to applaud from the group. But he offered a note of caution. "We also have to be rooted in reality and the fact that voters, including the Democratic voters and certainly persuadable independents or even moderate Republicans, are not driven by the same views that are reflected on certain, you know, left-leaning Twitter feeds or the activist wing of our party," Obama said. Now, that is what pissed a lot of folks off. And I saw it on Twitter, of course, right? So a lot of people talking about how Obama was, a Democrat in name only, that Obama was a neoliberal, that Obama did nothing but put black people to sleep for 8 years and not really fight for what we should have been fighting for. You saw a whole lot of that going on. But what I will say is this, man, because to a large degree, I do agree with what Obama said. And the reason why I say that is, like, I have a lot of discussions with folks, and this is just, you know, on some personal shit, you know, as I relate to this, but I have a lot of conversations with people, sometimes while I'm at work, sometimes when I'm just interacting with people, you know, just like, you know, just talking. And you'll find that, like, a lot of the conversations that folks are having on Facebook and on Twitter, a lot of people who aren't necessarily connected to these social networks, they are not having these same kinds. They're not having these same kinds of conversations, and they are not connected in. Excuse me. They are not connected to the everyday rhetorical fisticuffs, so to speak. Like, they're not engaged in it in that way. And you see it a lot when they talk about, say, for instance, the impeachment inquiry, how people respond to it as if, like, you know, ABC News even was ABC or NBC News were talking about it wasn't enough pizzazz in the first day of the impeachment inquiry. Like, yo, they're presenting factual information to you. I don't know why you look at this as though this is like supposed to be some form of entertainment. And to a large degree, the fact that we look at a lot of these things is they're supposed to be entertaining to us as opposed to informing us. That's an indictment on us as a country that we look at things in that way. And it's an indictment on this country that we look to entertainment so much that the current dude who's occupying the White House right now, his claim to fame really is being a reality TV show host. He had no fucking legislative experience whatsoever. And it shows, right? So when Obama starts talking about, you know, far left leaning or left leaning Twitter feeds, you know, he's talking about, you know, some of the activists who, even while he was in office, refused to come to speak to him concerning some of the issues that they felt like needed to be addressed. And these are some of the same people who would say some of the things that he did weren't enough, while at the same time saying would not go speak to him when he was offering those invitations to them. And you see them not do as much out in these streets, and it's understood why they wouldn't, in this current climate, why they wouldn't be as active in the activism spaces that they were when Obama was president, because then you had someone who was actively listening. Now they know they have someone who doesn't give a fuck about them and will probably crack heads the moment they come outside, right? But it's interesting how they're upset at Obama, because Obama is teaching some level of moderacy. Like, because here's the thing, like, I think what he's trying to say is in order to appeal to many of the voters in your base, the people that you got already, you're going to alienate some of them with some of the far left leaning, or what some consider the far left leaning aspects of some of the proposals that are being put forth on the table. And the way in which to, and this is part of the reason why, not Bernie, this is part of the reason why Joe Biden, as terrible as a candidate as he has been up to this point, why he continues to lead the polls, because Joe Biden represents a level of moderacy and normalcy to a lot of folks when it comes to who they want to be president of the United States. And people feel like they know Joe Biden. Even though Joe Biden has been a terrible candidate up to this point, people feel like they know Joe Biden, and people feel like Joe Biden is moderate and all these other things. I think one of the things that I get frustrated with when it comes to some of these top tier candidates like a Joe Biden, like a Pete Buttigieg, like a Bernie Sanders, is that I sometimes feel as though they've reached too far over to those who voted for Trump and thought Trump was a good idea. I think they should focus more on the people who are already in the camp of the Democratic Party and expand on that. Those people who decided to leave the Democratic Party, understand, they are the minority. Hillary Clinton won the presidential nomination, or she won the president, or she won the popular vote by over 3 million votes. So it's not as if, like, you got a shortage of people who are voting for you. No. But I think there are too many olive branches leveled out to those who decided, like, yo, I'm going to vote for Trump. And I'm like, they ignored a lot of racism and xenophobia and all of that to go vote for that dude. Yeah, fuck them. Fuck them. Expand on the base in which you have. Make those people more activated. Get those people more excited to go out to the polls and to vote for you and your ideas. But when it comes to folks on Twitter being upset at Obama for saying what, you know, I think is pretty apt advice for a dude who actually has won fucking presidential, you know, nomination twice. I think he probably does know what the fuck he's talking about. I think to a certain degree, like, those people on Twitter are the ones, it's hit dogs hollering pretty much. yeah, I say a bunch of far out shit. I'm a radical. I want drastic change. I want a revolution. And he's preaching moderacy in a time where I want revolution. And so Barack Obama represents to them the status quo, even though Barack Obama is the furthest thing from status quo, considering the reaction that we got from this country after his election. So, yeah, man, like, people was in their feelings, and I saw it on Twitter. Like, I was watching it, like, man, I guess niggas. But, yeah, man, I think to a certain degree, it's the thing of this, man. And I came to this realization, too, over the course of the week, is that people are more wedded to their agenda a lot of times than they are to the truth. You're going to see that a lot. When she kind of take a step back from a lot of this shit, people are more wedded to the agendas than they are to the truth. And even though Obama is up here telling you, like, yo, there's a lot of people out here that ain't really trying to hear this shit that y'all talking about on this far left Twitter stuff, that's the truth. Your agenda is some of the ideas that these folks are putting forth that, like, to a large degree, may be not palatable to the larger electorate. But you're wedded to that. You're not wedded to the truth. And that's why they're upset. So, yeah, man. That's been proud to be an American. That I'm proud to be an American. Where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. All right. That's enough of that. But y'all know what time it is, y'all.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
All right, our story here, or basically our champ of the week this week, is some people y'all would never thought y'all heard being champs of the week here at the Spam Report Podcast. You know what? They probably wouldn't have thought they would ever be champs of the week here at the Spam Report Podcast either. And you know what? I didn't think that this shit would ever be a thing here at the Spam Report Podcast. But guess what, man? Some conservatives are champs of the week this week here at the Spam Report Podcast, but it's sort of like a backhanded thing because, yeah, I guess I should go ahead and just let this thing go. So Donald Trump Jr. has been going on a book tour. He's got this book called Triggered or some shit. Let me pull it. Yeah, it's called Triggered: How the Left Thrives on Hate and Wants to Silence Us. Right. He's been going on this book tour, promoting this book. He was at the University of California. He was at UCLA. Him and his girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle. Kimberly Guilfoyle used to be a Fox News pundit. And they've been going on this book tour. There was a really contentious segment with them on The View last week. But he went to UCLA to talk about this. And Turning Point USA brought him out to the school to speak about the book and everything else. But he was booed off stage. Booed off stage. So let me go ahead and read a little bit from this story from Washington Post. It says Donald Trump Jr. and Trump campaign senior advisor Kimberly Guilfoyle came prepared with snappy rejoinders for liberal protesters who might taunt them on Sunday at the University of California at Los Angeles while they promoted Trump Jr.'s new book, Triggered: How the Left Thrives on Hate and Wants to Silence Us. But when unruly heckling drowned out the couple's answers, leading the pair to walk off stage, it wasn't leftists who cut the event short. Instead, the rebukes came from a crowd of young people who rank among the most ardent and extreme supporters of President Trump. At first reported by The Guardian, a number of conservatives, some in Make America Great Again caps and pro-Trump attire, began to shout at the president's son and political advisor 20 minutes into an event moderated by Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk after learning a question and answer session had been canceled. Video from the event showed a chant that started out as USA, USA, turning quickly into angry cries of Q&A, Q&A. Minutes later, Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle stormed off the stage. Now, there's video of this. Let me see if I can pull this video up. UCLA. Let me see if I can pull that video up of him getting booed off the stage. Okay, here we go. Let me share this with you guys here in the chat so you guys can see this too. But all right. So here we go. Check this out, y'all.
Okay, listen. Hey guys. It's still America. It's okay. We're willing to hear them. They're usually not willing to hear us. So I asked a simple question. I think she's triggered, Don. Thank you for advertising the book. We appreciate it. And to show sort of the level of hatred in that media that we keep talking about, but it is so important because it's still the filter by which everyone gets their news. It's because people hijack it with nonsense looking to go for some sort of soundbite. You have people spreading nonsense, spreading hate, to try to take over that room.
No,
and
it's
that's the real issue
no,
in the room.
No, it's because you're not making your parents proud by being rude and disruptive and discourteous. We are happy to answer a question. 100 new women created and owned businesses a day in the United States of America in 2018 alone. Those are the facts. Even The View couldn't dispute that. They said, well, we like the jobs. People have jobs.
People had jobs under Obama, too. Just saying. All right. So the interesting thing about this is that the conservative students here, they wanted to ask questions of Donald Trump Jr. and his girlfriend, Kimberly Guilfoyle. They had that particular thing, like that whole thing was scrapped. He wouldn't answer questions. But the interesting thing about that is that they were trying to make it out as though it was the left who was intolerant of the views of the of conservatives. And I'll say this, man. I'll say this as I start to close the show. One of the things that I find very irritating about, you know, a lot of right wing or a lot of right leaning publications, personalities and everything is that they tend to think that people are obligated to listen to their bullshit. No one is obligated to listen to your bullshit. It's much the same as a lot of the comedians who are bitching about how crowds are addressing them and the material that they present. You are free to say whatever the fuck it is you want to say. No one is obligated to listen. No one is obligated to consider your point. No one is obligated to validate the bullshit coming out of your mouth. The thing is that I find interesting is that they feel as though they're entitled to the audience. You are not. You are not. And there are sometimes points of view that just simply don't rise to the level of consideration for the larger public. Every point of view isn't on the level. It's not. It never will be. And it's funny that the people who are currently in power, are constantly bitching about them not being heard. You have the bully pulpit. Your words are heard around the world. The fact that this dude is promoting a book, his father is promoting the book, and he is currently occupying the White House right now, violating every emoluments clause known to man. The fact that you have that platform and you're still bitching about no one is listening to us. No one is getting it. Like they keep trying to shut us down, man. Like, yeah, bullshit gets shut down quite often. Quite often. I'm just a little bit sick and tired of those who are in powerful positions bitching about them not being heard. I'm kind of tired of hearing it. So, Yeah, man. For that reason, although they were also pieces of shit, the conservatives over there at the U.S. At the UCLA, they're the champs this week only because, you know, this one time they booed Donald Trump Jr. and proved a point for me. That's why they champs. They proved a point for me that it's not just the left that they consider intolerant of other folks' views. You got booed by your own people, G. You got booed by your own people. So that's it. But it's time for me to go. Been talking long enough. Got to get up out of here. Got some work to do. But of course, before I get up out of here, got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let you guys, you know, let your voices be heard. Hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave the voicemail messages. Of course, those messages will be read here live on the show or listened to live here on the show and responded to in kind. And if you're watching the show live, you can chop it up with your man Span here live, man. Call the show live and we can chop it up. Also, hit me up on the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me the emails. And of course, those emails will get read here live on the show as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr. Underscore Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week. Also, hit me up on the website, www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls when we put one up. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. Of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network. And you can go to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, leave us a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of leaving those. It's one of those times where you can put in on the show, don't spend a dime, just give us a couple minutes at a time to let everybody know why you're messing with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network. And you can also leave us comments on CastBox. If you're listening to the show via CastBox, you can leave comments there. We will read those comments here live on the show as well. And yeah, man, it's time for me to get on up out of here. I will talk to you guys again tomorrow because we got beer and chicken. But until next time, fam, peace.